The office was nearly empty, the kind of quiet that makes every sound feel too loud. The hum of the HVAC echoed down the hallway, and the carpet smelled faintly of cleaning solution and burnt coffee. I was still at my desk, jacket draped over the chair, shoes kicked off under it, toes pressed into the thin fibers like I needed proof I was still grounded. His office light was on. That had started to mean something. He leaned against my doorway with his sleeves rolled up, tie loosened, looking tired in a way that felt intimate. He asked if I wanted to walk through one last thing before calling it a night. I remember the way my laptop fan whined when I reopened it, the blue glow of the screen reflecting in the window like a second version of me watching from outside. When he closed the door behind us, it didn't register as a warning. It felt like recognition, like being chosen. I didn't know yet how quickly choice turns into expectation, or how hard it is to tell the difference once your job starts depending on it. I didn't sleep with my boss because I was reckless. I slept with him because the environment made it feel inevitable, like gravity. The company talked about hustle the way some people talk about faith. Long hours weren't just expected, they were celebrated. Being always on was framed as dedication. Boundaries were treated like weaknesses you outgrew if you wanted to move up. He was senior leadership, not the top, but close enough to taste it. I reported to him indirectly, which is how it started feeling safe, plausible. He wasn't technically my manager, but everyone knew his opinion carried weight. If he liked you, doors opened. If he didn't, things stalled without explanation. I was ambitious, but not naive. I understood politics. I understood that performance alone rarely moved the needle. Still, I believed I could navigate it cleanly. I believed there were lines people didn't cross anymore, not openly, not here. The late nights came first. Deadlines stacked on top of each other, projects that couldn't wait until morning. We were the ones who stayed when everyone else logged off. It created a bubble. Inside it, time felt different. Conversations drifted. We talked about work, then about careers, then about everything else that spills out when you're tired and trying to stay sharp. He listened in a way that made me feel interesting. He remembered things I said weeks earlier. He noticed effort. When he praised my work, it felt earned. When he asked for my input, it felt validating. I told myself this was mentorship. I told myself I was lucky. The warning signs didn't announce themselves. They crept in quietly. Compliments that lingered a beat too long. Comments about how I handled pressure better than most. Jokes that edged closer to personal territory. When I deflected, he smiled like he admired my restraint. I noticed how often he positioned himself as my advocate. How he referenced conversations with people above him, how he framed my progress as something he was shepherding. It created a sense of debt, subtle but persistent. I didn't ask for it. I didn't stop it either. The first time we crossed an obvious line, it was late, too late. The office lights were dimmed automatically, leaving pools of yellow over workstations. He sat closer than necessary at the conference table. His knee brushed mine and stayed there. I felt the contact like a question. I didn't answer it out loud. My body did something before my brain caught up. He noticed. Of course he did. After that, the dynamic shifted. Not dramatically, just enough to tilt everything slightly off balance. Messages came later at night. Conversations carried an undercurrent that hadn't been there before. I started thinking about how things looked, not just how they felt. I told myself I could control it. I told myself I'd let it flirt with the edge and then pull back. I told myself that acknowledging attraction didn't mean acting on it. I believed I was still in charge of the narrative. The culture didn't discourage any of this. No one asked why we were always the last ones in the building. No one questioned closed doors. Success covered a lot. Results excused behavior. As long as the numbers were right, everything else was treated as personal, not professional. I ignored the quiet voice that asked what would happen if this went wrong. I wasn't thinking about consequences yet. I was thinking about momentum, about staying relevant, about not being the woman who got overlooked because she didn't play the game well enough. It stopped feeling like a choice somewhere along the way. That's the part people don't like to hear because it complicates the story. The night it happened wasn't dramatic. No sudden confession, no grand betrayal of values. Just another late evening, another project crisis, another moment where exhaustion blurred judgment. We were alone in his office, reviewing slides. The air felt stale. He stood behind me as I scrolled, close enough that I could feel his breath when he spoke. When his hand rested on the back of my chair, it didn't feel shocking anymore. It felt expected. I didn't say no. I didn't say yes either, not in words. That ambiguity mattered later, even if it didn't matter in the moment. Afterward, sitting in the quiet with my heart racing, I told myself it was mutual. I told myself adults make choices. I told myself this didn't have to mean anything else. The expectations shifted immediately. Not overtly, just enough to register. He checked in more often. He asked questions that assumed access, not permission. When I didn't respond right away, he noticed. When I pulled back slightly, he asked if everything was okay in a tone that made it clear things being okay mattered beyond us. At work, things changed too. I was given more visibility, more responsibility. Meetings I hadn't been invited to before suddenly included me. He framed it as recognition. I wanted to believe that. I wanted to believe my work alone justified it. But there was a new layer now, one I couldn't ignore. Favors came wrapped in expectation. Support came with strings I hadn't agreed to explicitly, but felt all the same. When I tried to reestablish boundaries to keep things professional again, the temperature dropped. He didn't threaten me. He didn't have to. Projects stalled, feedback cooled, opportunities paused. Nothing I could point to definitively, nothing HR would ever document. Just a gradual tightening, like the air leaving a room. The point of no return came when I realized my job security had become entangled with his satisfaction. I saw it clearly during a performance conversation that felt rehearsed. He talked about concerns, about perception, about needing to know we were aligned. His eyes stayed on me, steady, waiting. I understood then that pulling back fully would cost me. Staying would cost me too, just differently. I chose the option that felt less immediately destructive. I stayed quiet, I stayed close. I told myself it was temporary. I became complicit in maintaining the illusion. I laughed at things that made me uncomfortable. I adjusted my schedule to accommodate his. I stopped mentioning it to friends because I didn't want to hear their reactions. I didn't go to HR because I knew how those stories ended, and I didn't trust the system to protect me from the fallout. When rumors started, they didn't come with names attached, just looks, pauses in conversation, a subtle distancing from coworkers who didn't want to be adjacent to whatever was happening. Isolation crept in alongside advancement, and I couldn't untangle them. Eventually, the tension broke. Not in a confrontation, but in a shift. He grew distant, distracted. Something else had his attention. When I asked where that left me, he said I was reading too much into things. He said work was work. He said I should focus on my performance. The promotion came shortly after. A title bump, a raise. It was framed as earned, overdue. People congratulated me with smiles that didn't quite reach their eyes. I stood there accepting it, feeling hollow. The promotion didn't protect me. It exposed me. Expectations rose, support didn't. Mistakes that would have been overlooked before were suddenly highlighted. I was scrutinized in ways I hadn't been. When I pushed back, I was told to be grateful. When I asked for clarity, I was told to be patient. He treated me like a liability now, not an asset. Professional, distant, careful. The access I once had vanished. I realized how precarious my position was when I stopped being useful to him personally. The whispers didn't stop. They shifted. Instead of curiosity, there was judgment. I could feel the narrative hardening around me, one I had no control over. If I succeeded, it was because of him. If I stumbled, it was proof I didn't deserve to be there. I lasted less than a year after that, not because I was fired, but because the cost of staying became too high. The anxiety followed me home. Sleep came in fragments. I replayed conversations in my head, wondering where I could have made a different choice, knowing how limited those choices really were. When I left, the company didn't implode. He didn't face consequences. The system absorbed everything quietly, the way it always does. I took my title and my paycheck history and moved on, carrying something heavier than either. I'm careful now. Not just with men in power, but with myself, with the stories I tell to justify discomfort, with the belief that advancement is worth any price. I don't think of what happened as a scandal. I think of it as a transaction I didn't fully consent to, negotiated in a language I was taught to speak but never taught to question. The promotion is still on my resume, so is the residue. One opens doors, the other reminds me what it can cost to walk through them.